Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of death. Amen.
Today, on Plaid Skirts and Basic Black, we're going to be talking about our spiritual mother, Mary, Mother of God. We're really excited to talk to you about what Mary means in our lives, her role in the Catholic Church, and maybe even clear up some misconceptions. So get ready, get those Hail Marys ready, not the football ones, and join us today on our Mother's Day edition of Plaid Skirts and Basic Black.
Okay, so Shannon, I have a really important question. I need to know. Are you ready? So I need to know, because I am basic as all get out, is the boycott of Starbucks over? Or is it until they have that class?
I think so.
I was like, it's real important.
That was my street cred right now. No, but a few, like a week after the whole thing with Starbucks happened, you know, where the two black men were arrested for just sitting there waiting for a friend, Starbucks, like, contacted them, met with them, basically were like, they made a formal apology, and they are requiring all of their people across the whole country, they're closing down every store on Friday, May 29th, to do diversity training. So they're really trying to do something. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, I know that. Yeah. I just, like, I'm like, but is the boycott officially lifted? I even went on Black Twitter to find out.
Yeah.
And I was it's been like, I'm like, I haven't had a flat white. And then I went and got one today. And I was like, well, I feel like it should be lifted.
I mean, I tried.
Because... And that is the basic part of our basic blackness, because really like, and they had these really cute reusable mugs. Like, I showed you my one that says Sing Louder. Mm-hmm. So I got it today, and they were cute. They're all like a bunch of fun ones there. And I was like, I need them so I can bring them. But so yeah, that was real important for me.
Yeah. Well, and we are lucky enough that I have another drive through, like, espresso place that just opened up, like, on the other side of the highway from my house. So I live on, like, one side of the highway, literally right off the exit, and it's just on the other side. And so so I was going there, and I didn't really have to change my habits. Maybe that's not the best thing to confess. Like, oh, I still went every day, you know. But that was – it was easier for me. So I haven't – like, and I still go to that place a lot anyway, so I haven't really been, like – but here's the thing about ministry people. You meet at Starbucks a lot. Starbucks is the place to have meetings. Like, it's hard to avoid. And so, you know, I actually don't dislike them as a company on the whole. It's really hard as a coffee company to try to be 100% ethical and all that. And they really do try. So
they do a really good job. You're right. They do.
They make it part of their mission and vision, and you know, they try to ethically source. I mean, every company has their issues. Nothing's perfect, but they really do try to take care of coffee growers and the poor and stuff like that, and be sustainable and in a way that many people in the corporate world don't. So, you know, should I pay $4 for coffee every day? Probably not, but
no,
I don't feel horrible about it. Also, I'm pretty bougie, so hey.
Yes, that's real talk. But I was totally that Target mom today. Like, I went and got some things at Target, and I went to, like, the clearance section because all the clothes on Cartwheel are the clearance clothes are 20% off.
I saw that today when I was shopping, and I was like, "Ah, I want to buy clothes," but I didn't. I beat the Target rep.
Good. But no, that's seriously, it's really funny. I'm like, I'm not these kids' mom that I'm raising, but I feel like such a boy mom sometimes because they're so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. but also yep. like I run errands and I do the grocery shopping, and I was at Target because one of my boys doesn't like the pizza we have at home. So I had to go get him another pizza because we're having pizza tonight. And do you know what? And then I was like, I'm gonna need a Starbucks. And then I got my Starbucks and I was like, oh, wait, I forgot. Is this still a boycott? Oh, is there still a boycott going on? Like, but I was like, I wasn't still mad because I thought they did a good job, but I didn't want to, I needed to confer with the Black delegation. And since you're what I have right now, I even went to Black Twitter. And so I'm just saying. Anyway. Okay. So the subject at hand. Today we are recording. It is May 4th, 2018. So Shannon, may the 4th be with you.
And with your spirit.
Great. So welcome to Plaid Skirts and Basic Black, the podcast where we're Black and Catholic and all kinds of basic. So, Shannon, how are things? How is the weather in your neck of the woods?
It is bright and sunny and warm and perfect. Today, it's almost official, but my husband Eric just got an offer to work at a school as an assistant principal, and so he's been trying to be an administrator in a school building for a long time. He has a master's degree and is a smart cookie. He's probably listening to this, and so now he knows officially that I think he's smart. It's just a great thing, that something that he is very passionate about, sort of has come to fruition after at least 5 good years of wanting to do this. So, very excited for him, and that's gonna just be a great thing for our family as well.
I'm sorry, your cat is looking at me. You saw that. I was like, okay, Jake.
He did. He just stared you down.
He really did. And I was like, but you know and love me.
He's a pretty kitty. We like him. Yeah. Okay. So how about the weather by you? What's going on?
So it's been a weird couple of days. It's, I want to say right now, it was rainy for a while. Like, it was like, mm-hmm. There was rain, y'all. I was like, I'm gonna count off these animals two by two. it's gonna be fine. And, it was just hard. Like, there are some things going on here that I can't really disclose, because it has to do with some of our boys, and they were having a hard week, and so, when they have hard weeks, like, I have a hard week. Not because they make me miserable, but because I'm here hopefully to make life better for them, you know? and so it was kind of rainy for a bit, but, now, that has passed and I feel like there's a rainbow. This morning I witnessed the cutest moment that I can't tell them was the cutest moment because I hope I get a picture of it soon. So today at our, at the school here, they have ROTC, and today is the change of command. And so,
awesome.
Yeah. And so I'm going to go to that this afternoon. One of my boys, the one that's a senior, he is the company commander.
Oh, wow.
So,
awesome.
So, yeah. And it's actually the second time I've had a company commander in my house, which is funny. It's like, it's me. I'm the common denominator, everybody. But yeah. It's all me. Even though it was like 12 years apart, but it's cool. So he's the company commander. And so he came down and all the kids, like, I really love when they come down on Wednesdays because they have to dress in full ratzy, and they mm-hmm. look very, very nice. And today they had to dress in full ratzy because of change of mm-hmm. command. And so they all came down. They look very, very nice. And I have 2 eighth graders in my home, and the eighth graders dress in ratzy. It's only for high school. And so the eighth graders dress mm-hmm. in ratzy for the change of command because that's what they'll be doing for the freshman year. And so they look so little. It's like Captain America. It's Captain America before the serum. before the super serum. Like, it's legit. I was like, Steve Rogers. Hello, Steve Rogers. Like, because they're just so little. And it was so sweet. And I had one guy, he couldn't figure out his belt. And I was like, I was trying to figure out his belt and help him. And like, he had his belt on. So I was like, I need you to turn where everyone can see that I'm helping you with your belt. Because I'm not trying to get written up or have a DCFS investigation. No. Like, I feel like maybe not today or any other day. And so, and I was trying to help him with his belt. And then I called one of the other boys over. He's a sophomore and he was helping him. And it was just so sweet. He was like, oh, here, you got to do this, right? And so he did it. And he came downstairs like, see, I did it. And I was like, it looked off, but I couldn't figure out why I was off. And then I had the senior come down who was the company commander. And I was like, doesn't this look off to you? And he's like, yeah, it's reversed. And then he just set his stuff down and he started talking to him and telling him how it's supposed to go and why it's supposed to be this way. And he was fixing it for him. And I was like, where's my phone? It was just seriously such a sweet, tender moment. And like, our boys have had a hard week and it was just so wonderful. Like, I seriously almost cried. They're like, why are you ridiculous, Marcia? Please let us go to school. And so it was just a wonderful, like, through this week that was stormy. Like, it really was from Sunday night on. And then here we are at Friday. And there is cooperation and there is a little bit of peace. And it's just, it's really great. So yeah, there are rainbows. There are rainbows. Yeah. Those are hard fought rainbows.
In the storm.
There's a blessing in the storm. Help me sing it.
Here, I have some theological problems with that, but we'll put that aside. Okay. It's a joke. People, it's a joke.
It's okay. Go team. Shelves.
Be a joke. Go team. Shelves.
So I listened to our episode today, and I just the whole time, I was like, we say that all the time, and we do need to have that. We need to have merchandise. We are going to. We're going to make it happen. Maybe I'll get it together this week and put it on Redbubble because that is hilarious to me and I love it. So there we go. Okay. So thanks for letting us know how you're doing, Shannon. And I'm glad that we're both okay.
We're both doing all right.
Okay. So I'm sure you guys have been anticipating, anxiously awaiting today's topic. Since you heard me sing, I know you're like, wow, you know, that was amazing. Now you need to know more about Mary. And I was like, I know, right? What can I say? There's something about her. Waka, waka, waka. So today we're going to be talking about Mary, Mother of God. Woohoo! So, Shannon, okay, I mean, you grew up Catholic, so.
Yes.
Tell me, like, you're like, yes, I did. Thank you. So you grew up Catholic and Mary was always a thing.
Always so there.
Tell us about Mary as you know her.
So, we'll start at the beginning. No.
It's a very good place to start.
It is. You know, growing up, we went to Mass every week. You know, there was always a statue of Mary. Everybody was always giving everybody rosaries or, you know, this was blessed by the Pope and that. And, which that's another thing we'll talk about some other time, I'm sure. But, I went to Catholic school as well. And so, like, we would pray the rosary and we would talk about Mary in class. And there was May crowning, which we're now in May. So if you're at a Catholic church, you may see like a May crowning, or if you go to their statue of Mary, she'll have a crown of flowers around her head, the statue, and just as a way to honor Mary in the month of May, which is a Marian month, I guess. We have so many liturgical holidays, it's hard to keep track
of
why things are the way they are. But and people were always saying, oh, well, pray to Mary for that and do this and Mary will help you. And people had miraculous medals or scapulars, these what we call little s sacramentals. Mm-hmm. So things that like aren't, they're not like required by the church. They're not like sacraments, but they help us keep certain beliefs and truths about the faith and mind, or help us pray or help us grow spiritually. So like the rosary is one of those, you know, things like relics of saints. So a piece of their clothing, or a book, the prayer book that they used or whatever, that they remind us of, you know, especially like with the saints, like an example of how they were holy, right? So that was like always there. And it was just kind of like Mary was Jesus's mom. We did all these things, and I didn't think really anything of like praying a rosary or saying the Hail Mary, because it was just one of those things we learned, like, you right. know, you had to memorize the Our Father, you had to memorize the Hail Mary, you had to memorize this. And then I remember when I was in high school, I remember my grandmother, my dad's mom, a black grandma, she was a convert to Catholicism, and actually came in through a priest who was basically doing youth ministry. So, hey, youth ministry, go, it works. brings people to Jesus. And she was a pretty, she was very devout, but she was very devoted to like praying the rosary and things like that. And she went to live at a Catholic nursing home. And she used to joke, she said, "Oh, I love being here." And all the most of the nurses were black and whatever, and they treated her so well, because she said, as she put it, "I'm the only pepper in all this salt." So they just loved her. It was like having their own mom there, you know. But at Mass there, this nursing home, after Mass, they would always pray the Memorare, which is a prayer to Mary, mm-hmm. basically saying, you know, it starts, "Oh, gracious Virgin Mary, never was it known that anyone who sought thy fled to thy protection or sought thy intercession was left unaided." And there's a whole yeah. more part
oh,
of
Oh, no, that. I love that one. Like, I love
it. It's
memoir.
Beautiful, and it's basically like, I like, take care of us, Mary. And I remember just, like, that was very striking to me, because even though I grew up Catholic, like, our parish wasn't super traditional. It wasn't in, like, we still did some of those things, but it wasn't, like, all the, like, old Catholic stuff was not like a huge part, you know. We weren't having like the adoration or stuff like that. It's kind of like very visual signs of Catholicism. You know, people didn't have like home altars and stuff like that. So I just remember being very struck by that prayer, because it wasn't one I had heard very often. And then in high school, I was very involved in youth group. And our youth group went on a trip to Medjugorje, which was a site that some people believe that the Virgin Mary is appearing to people and teaching them stuff. It's not approved by the church. There's some kind of evidence that it may not actually be an apparition site. But, like, that doesn't mean that God's not working through that. But so they went, and they had some very profound experiences of Mary's intercession, which we'll talk about later, and what we believe about that. But then they came back and were all excited about the rosary and things like that. Not too long after that, one of the girls who had went on the trip, who was a leader in our youth ministry and a friend of many of ours, those of us who were really involved, she was diagnosed with a very serious cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and which is pretty rare, and you know, she's completely in remission, 100%, has not had any recurrence. It's been probably 10 to 15 years, and she has babies and all that. So great end to the story. You know, she's doing well. But, you know, we were all sort of devastated by this, because we were all very close. And everyone, of course, was asking her, "What can we do? What can we do?" And she said, "I'd like you to pray the rosary for me every week, and for the intentions of, like, all the intentions in the world that need prayer." And so we did that, and we met every Wednesday in our parish chapel, and we would pray. And it started with probably 25 of us who were very active and knew her really well. And it grew and grew. There were then adults started coming, more and more teens. And now it's been going on for At least 15 years. So that sounds about right. And That's amazing. Almost 20 at this point. Every week they've been there. The only time I think they've ever missed is when like Christmas falls on a Wednesday. So, and I know my parents still go on occasion, and there's people who've been going every week for 15 years. And so the rosary not only became important to us as a youth group, but to me. And I started to discover what it meant that Mary was the mother of God, and that she was this special person to Christ and therefore to us. And one thing I'd like to say is that, like, Mary isn't important because she's awesome, although she is pretty awesome. But she was just a normal woman. The reason that she's important is because she was Jesus's mother. And everything that we believe about Mary is tied to something we believe about Jesus. So we never say anything about Mary that isn't truth, you know, isn't something that points to something really important about Jesus, right? Like, we call her the mother of God, not because it makes her special, but because it reminds us that Christ is God. He's not just human. She wasn't just the mother of like one part of Jesus. She was his whole mom, just you know.
Right.
So that, you know, like, that's why we call her that, not because she needs to be special. We don't like we don't pray to her because she has some special power, but because she's Jesus' mom. I'll talk about that.
Yeah, we're talking about that later. I was like, yeah, we won't get into that now.
So anyway, that became pretty important. And now as I've gotten older and become a mom and done a lot more, like, biblical research and learned more, I think Mary has become not just this, like, wonderful helper up in heaven, but more of a real figure, a woman who I have come to understand a little bit better and know a little bit better as a woman and as a mother, and to recognize her own gifts as a prophetess and someone who really helped through her own yes, helped salvation come to other people. Mm-hmm. Just like we're all called to do, you know, that we cooperate with God's plan in our own way, and whatever it is that he calls us to, and through that we can help bring Christ to others. And she did that in a very special way, obviously.
Yeah. The most special way.
Yeah, the most special way. So while I don't, like, I'm not as devoted to praying the rosary every week and stuff like that, and I'm not necessarily, like, really into the devotionals right now, Mary has become for me almost like a companion and a model and somebody who I can look to as a woman who's walking with me on the journey, especially in the special way, because, you know, she's a mommy. Of course she's gonna want to, like, help us get to Jesus. So that's kind of my Mary stuff. We'll talk about more later. How about you?
So for me, we'll talk about what I thought about Mary growing up in a little bit. because that was my life as a Protestant. But with the rosary, I have a really funny story about the rosary, okay? Mm-hmm. So when I was in grade school, there was, it just ended. Well, recently, maybe a few years ago, the soap opera One Life to Live. Do you know about that soap opera? Mm-hmm. So there was a storyline on there where the girl, Gabrielle, stole a baby that wasn't her. It was like a baby switch storyline, which every soap opera has. Mm-hmm. And so she was feeling guilty about this baby switch one day. And I didn't know what a rosary was. So she was in church and she was crying and doing the whole baby switch episode. And she was, or maybe it wasn't even baby switch, but I know it was the character Gabrielle. Because mm-hmm. I was in fourth grade, maybe fifth grade, when I saw this, and she was holding a rosary. I didn't know what it was, but I just thought she was holding on to her really long, pretty cross necklace.
Yeah.
And she was she was at church, and, you know, she was at church praying, holding her pretty cross necklace. And I want to say maybe not too much time had passed. Maybe I'm not sure how much time it passed. Oh, I saw one in my grandmother's house. And here's the thing, this funny thing is that Protestant people have rosaries. Like, not that And I only knew that because my grandma had one, and I didn't understand why my grandma had one, but I think it, like, maybe someone gave it to her. Maybe it was just kind of, like, maybe it's just a pretty cross necklace to her. But other people own them. And I don't know if people wear them or not. You're not supposed to wear. They're not jewelry. Like, they're legit not jewelry. Like, I know people that wear them under their clothes. You know, and that's one thing. But anyway, so this girl, her name, so her name was Graciela. And she, I was in school with her. And she came to school one day, and she had a rosary. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you have one of those. And I go, what is this exactly? And she's like, well, my mom gave it to me. And I was like, okay. And she really didn't, like, she couldn't explain it to me. And this is what I did. I'm super helpful, and I'm a Ravenclaw. So I was like, well, let me tell you what this is. Like, I knew. And I was like, you wrap this around your hand. And then you just go to church and pray. And that's what you're supposed to do. I'm like, I saw it once. Gabrielle did it on One Life to Live. Like, because my grandmother was watching the soap. And so I saw it. And I was like, that's what happened. I'm like, you're just supposed to wrap it. Or like, if you really want to pray, you have to wrap it around your hands just like this. And then you pray. That's what it's for. That was it. That was me.
You're such person.
I was so helpful. And I'm so smart. I mean, I learned later what the rosary was and what that meant.
I mean, it's not an inaccurate statement. Just maybe not a full statement.
Right. I was like, I mean, at least I wasn't saying once you stole someone's baby and switch it, you pray for forgiveness and then you wrap it around your hand and you pray real hard in church. But I was showing her, like, one time she was doing it, I go, you're doing it wrong. Let me help you. That's right. I will help you wrap your rosary around your hand because that's all it's supposed to be. It's hand jewelry for prayer. So, but,
cling to the cross, I guess.
I know. So that's not what the rosary is. The rosary, was it the, is it, was it Fatima? No, not Fatima.
St. Dominic. St. Dominic.
But it was the kids, right? Who got the rosary?
St. Dominic.
St. Dominic. And that was in Russia, right?
Nope. It was in, he is 12th century, or sorry, 13th century, 1200s, right around the same time St. Francis. And
oh, he, yeah, because it got that cross, right?
Yeah. So he had a vision, and Mary gave him the rosary and said, pray this. Interesting enough, a, like, a historiography fact, I think that's a correct word, it, scholars kind of think it was pretty likely that the rosary came out of the crusaders going to encounter Muslim people who do have their own beads that they pray with. They recite the 99 names of God that are found in the Quran. And then that kind of imprinted on the crusaders who, you know, kind of brought that back. And then this experience of the Dominicans praying, like bringing in this bead thing, right? They like combined into what we now have as the rosary. Like the reason that there are, so in a rosary necklace, you have five decades of the rosary. So a decade is 10 beads. So you say a Hail Mary, or sorry, you say an Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, a Glory Be, and then you move on to the next decade. And every decade you meditate on a different mystery of Christ's life. So it's like the Annunciation, which is when the angel comes to Mary and tells her she's having a baby. Surprise!
You're having a baby!
Or, you know, the crucifixion, right? These, like, big events in Jesus' life. But the reason that they, that it became so popular, and the reason that you, until the 20th century, there were, you would pray 150 Hail Marys, is because they matched up with the Psalms. There's 150 Psalms. So it was a way for lay people who weren't monks to pray along with the monks who were doing what we call the Liturgy of the Hours, or they were singing, they would sing each of the 150 Psalms throughout the week. And so the lay people could do the rosary as a way to do that without, like, knowing Latin or being able to read or whatever. So that's kind of the how the rosary grew as well. But I think that's really interesting that I think that historical fact that, like, sometimes we think that we as Catholic came up with everything, but really Hindus prayed with beads, Muslims prayed with beads well before we ever thought it was a good idea.
Right.
Also an interesting scientific fact about the rosary and or these other meditative prayers that you do on beads, praying the rosary and other such type prayers basically lowers your heart rate and improves your breathing because of the repetitiveness and the meditative nature of it. So even though you may not necessarily be, like, in the zone praying, it does help your actual, like, physical body to do this kind of repetitive prayer too. So go science.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so I went and figured out why I was confused about Fatima in Russia. So
gotcha.
There is a story, and I'm sure I heard it on Relevant Radio. Mm-hmm. Is Relevant Radio still a thing? I don't even know. Relevant Radio is a Catholic radio station, and I think it's still a thing. But yeah. I don't listen to traditional radio anymore. So, so there was a consecration in Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and that was, it was ordered in an apparition by Our Lady of Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe they didn't heed her words. Like, you're like, hey, you know, pray this and,
mm-hmm.
you know, Russia would be, like, super okay. And then that didn't happen. And she's like, I tried to tell y'all.
And now you're communist.
That's right. Liz, mother knows best. So that's what it was. It was Pope Pius and they've done that, but, like, I can't remember what exactly happened because they didn't do it at first. And then, like, after that, all the popes to follow have done it. But here we are. Russia now owns us. And that's okay.
Now they're meddling with elections.
I know, right? So that's what it was. It was for the consecration of Russia. And it was... that's where that was. So I was like, I know the story. Cause it was like Sister Lucia was a nun and mm-hmm. there was an apparition of Our Lady of Fatima. And so I was like, okay, I knew I was not crazy.
The internet is a wonderful
place. I know. Cause I was like, it was like, it was Fatima in Russia. And you're like, that sounds crazy.
That's no, Dominic. I kind of knew what you were getting at, but you know, it was about 700 years before that.
I know, I know, because it was just last century that happened. So the rosary's all been around for quite a while. So it's not like a new thing. It's not a newfangled thing. Mm-hmm. So
no.
Speaking of a quote unquote newfangled thing, we can pray the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy on the rosary.
Yeah, I love and, that. My favorite prayer.
And I love that one. And we are going to cover that one day just with, Sister Faustina and, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Faustina,
yes. And, the Divine Mercy. It's totally coming up. We're totally covering it. Wait, no, it's not coming up. It's coming up next year. Easter already happened.
It was after Easter.
Pentecost is coming up. I was like, that's Divine Mercy Sunday. It's happening in a year.
I mean, unless Jesus comes before them, it's definitely coming.
Yeah. So maybe we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it because you can pray at any time. So,
yep.
So, Shannon, growing up Catholic and knowing about Mary, what are some crazy things that you've heard about Mary that you're like, that is just not true?
From Catholics or from other people?
Well,
all of the above.
Right. I think all of the above, because there's some Catholics out there where you're like, I feel like maybe no. Yeah. I was like, you're the reason why they think we're crazy.
So one of the things that I have a hard time with, and this is somewhat cultural too, I'm going to put that out there because I'm not trying to sound, I don't want to try to sound like I'm putting down different cultural expressions of religious tradition, but you know, like there are some cultures where Mary is really important. A lot of Latin countries, in Italy, Mary is a big deal. And growing up in the American church, I think partially because we've been influenced so much by the Protestant church, because we're around Protestants every day, unlike most other Catholic countries, we aren't necessarily as like intensely Mary devotional as a whole church, you know. Mm-hmm. Different like real different cultural groups might be, but we're not. But like there's a lot of people who like they go almost to the extreme of like where it's borderline worshiping Mary instead of Jesus, like that we're always praying to Mary instead of Jesus, or like we're having this big parade with Mary and we don't even talk about Jesus ever. Mary kind of like we kind of just substitute Mary for God, like if you do this Mary will do that, and that like that is for me something that's not really appealing and dangerous as well, that we don't want to put Mary in the place of God. But, so that's been hard for me, but also from a cultural perspective of like, you know, we just didn't do that. So it's a little weird for me to like understand why, you know, you like put Mary on a Mary statue on a big, like days, D-A-I-S, sorry, big words. and like carry her around the streets, like singing songs, so that, like, I will just say, like, that's a cultural bias I have that I don't get. I think also, like, there's a lot of people who, like, they almost see, like, the rosary or something as, like, magical. Well, if you just pray the rosary, then everything will be fine. Like, that's not real. That's not real at all. Like, sometimes bad stuff just happens. Like, and while I do think that there's a lot of things that the intercession of the saints and Mary in particular can help us with, you know, like we shouldn't expect them to be sort of like cure-alls for our problems, or like, you know, that if we just go to Lourdes, then we're going to be healed because we'll get this miraculous water from the Mary apparition and I will automatically be cured of my cancer. Well, then rare, like that's why it's a miracle, you know,
right.
It's not something that God does all the time. So that's something from inside the Catholic world that I struggle with. And I honestly just tend to be like the things that are devotionals for me, like the things I really get into are the things that are centered around Christ as opposed to different saints. Like that's just who I am as a Catholic Christian. So like I love the Divine Mercy Chapel because we're pleading with Christ himself. Like, and that's
right.
So I like from the outside too, like especially when I was in high school and, you know, you have people who are like questioning all these things. I had a lot of Protestant friends who basically told me I was worshiping Mary, who told me that Mary wasn't special in any way, we shouldn't pray to saints or Mary or ask for their intercession because only Jesus can intercede for us and only Jesus should get our prayers. And I'm like, well, what happened to the Father and the Holy Spirit too? Like, shouldn't they also get our prayers? But that's a different story.
And also intercession is like someone praying for you to Jesus. So if Jesus is the only one who can intercede, there's like a breakdown somewhere in there.
Exactly. And also like Protestants love intercessory prayer from their friends.
Yeah. All day long.
I love it. And I have a lot of really good Protestant friends who, like, we talk about this, and, like, it's not like I'm not trying to, like, say all Protestants are like this, but, and I also, you know, it was also a lot of, like, there was wrapped up in that a lot of anti-Catholicism in general, especially in America, like, oh, you're all gonna take over, and you're gonna make us, like, you know, that, like, being called a papist, right? Like, that sort of very insulting word of, like, no papists, and, you know, that there's, along with that, like, the no Irish need apply, mm-hmm. or the, you know, the idea, like, right now we're definitely experiencing this anti-Latina thing of, like, keep the immigrants out. Well, all these Latin American countries are Catholic, so there's a lot of anti-Catholicism that goes along with that. So, I really felt that. And while my whole family on both sides was Catholic, I do think that especially in the Black community, there's a lot of suspicion of Catholicism.
Yes.
which is sort of interesting because historically, Catholicism, like Black Catholics in America, like if you look at Louisiana in particular and some of the more Catholic states or where there are lots of Black Catholics, Catholicism was more easily able to absorb sort of traditional African religious practices and the spirituality that kind of goes along with being a person of the diaspora and the Black diaspora. And so it's sort of ironic to me that there's this sort of anti-Catholic sentiment among Black Protestants because in many cases, the Black Catholics are keeping more of the traditions of our ancestors from mm-hmm. Africa, right? So, it's just sort of interesting and weird and frustrating at times, too. So those are some of the things that I remember hearing.
So, if we were in high school together, I would have been one of those people that told you
absolutely.
That Mary, you're praying to hell, Mary
too, because of all of
like that. All of it. Like, I was like, why are you doing this? And I, my religion teacher, my freshman year, Sister Joanne Murphy, cousin of Bill Murphy. Murray. Awesome. Why I say Murphy? Murray. Yeah. Why can't I talk today? I was like, that sounds really wrong.
Is she the one who does all the plays and stuff?
No.
No. Okay.
Sorry. We'll start over again because I don't remember people's names apparently. Sister Joanne Murray. Cousin of Bill Murray. She was my religion teacher freshman year. I did not like her at all. So that's probably, that was difficult. I thought she was a horrible person. May she rest in peace. I know it's horrible.
Pray for us.
pray for us, Sister Joanne Murray, possibly Murphy, but not Murphy at all. if you're up there and you see me, I became Catholic. So now you have to pray for me. anyway, so Sister Joanne Murray, it was my freshman year religion class, and I was like at my peak Protestant, you know. I was like, y'all is crazy and wrong. Y'all pray to Mary. You worship her. And they're like, no, we don't. We don't worship her. And the prayer that I love right now, like the Memorare, like you,
yeah.
I took that out and I would go, here is proof. and I went. And I'd be like, right here,
blind, right?
You're praying to her. You're saying, oh, gracious Virgin Mary, never was it known. and then the Hail Holy Queen, like all of it. I was like, this is what it is. I go, why is she a queen? And then Sister Joanne laid the smack down. And it's funny because I didn't have a response to this. And it's fine. Because I was legit wrong. she goes, well, when you go to heaven, what do you think is going to happen? And I go, well, I'm going to be with Jesus. And it's going to be amazing. And I'm going to get a crown. And da, da, da. And she's like, right. So if you get a crown, Marcia, you get a crown. You get a crown. No, so she's like, if you get a crown and you are Marcia, and who knows what you'll do with your life, right? She's like, but you'll never birth a savior, right? And I was like, well, no. And she's like, how come Mary can't get a crown? And I was like, let me get back to you. It's still wrong. do you know? I mean, and she totally did. It was so funny, and it's funny because I was like, I was so annoyed because I couldn't answer the question. And then my head was like, and that's why I don't like you.
Just give her some side eye,
Wait, it was legit side eye before we had a name for side eye. But I was like, she basically was like, and you're basic. so.
Mic drop.
Right? It was legit. And she was just as calm.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she probably heard it a million times.
Right? Before. I mean, she's a Catholic nun. I'm sure she did.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sure it made her feel good.
What people said to her. About her life choices.
Right. And it's so crazy. I was really they worship Mary, and Mary was hard for me. It was mm-hmm. difficult for me because for so long, to pray, I felt like we were praying to Mary, we were praying to her, this is happening. And I've since learned that, in like my journey to become Catholic, I always was asking questions like, why do we pray to Mary? Like, you know, you ask her to pray for you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you ask for her intercession to get the things that you desire, or asking God for it, you know, and all these things. And I was like, oh, okay. And that made sense. You know, people, when I was open to hearing it, I could hear it, you know, other people saying like, just like you asked me to pray for you or your mom or someone else. Just like, they ask if I didn't have any relatives that had died, at that point, major ones, but I did have a friend who died when I was in high school. And it's like, well, do you ever ask that friend to pray for you? And I go, no, but I just kind of know he's looking down on us and, you know, things like that. Uh-huh. And it's like, it's kind of like that. Like, Mary's in heaven. She's watching over us. You're asking her to pray for you because she's up there with Jesus. Yep. She's right there. She's what right there. Name? Like, legit. She was like.
Yeah.
She's
one of the few. Like
that's.
She's one of them. Like four.
So that's where, so that's kind of where I was. And so, do you have any more things to say? Because I can kind of talk about...
Yeah, can I add to the intercession before? Yes. I know you want to share. Marcia's got a great story of her journey to, like, loving Mary, so I don't want to step on her toes. But I will share a little bit more about the intercession. One of the interesting things I've learned recently is that... So in biblical times, in the ancient Near East, in Jesus' time, and especially in the time of the Kingdom of Israel... the queen, right, the queen who was, like, making all the decisions and all that wasn't the spouse of the king, like we would have, but rather was the king's mother. And so when, and her role, the queen mother who was the queen, like the queen regent or whatever, her role was to basically... be an advocate for the people in front of her son. So if you had a grievance or something that you, like a land dispute, or if the king was overtaxing people and it was, you know, sort of like draining their resources and they weren't able to eat, or they wanted him to give them more grain during a famine or something, you would go to the queen mother and talk to her, and then she would come and plead on your behalf to the king, who then would make a decision on your case. So, like, she would sit at his right hand and be honored because she was his mother. And also, right, that relationship between the son and the mother created this bond where, in this case where she was bringing something from the people forward to her son and being their advocate, like, he's not going to just be like, no, because it's his mom, you know, and
right.
something, and he respects her and cares about her opinion and knows that she's bringing something to him because it matters and because it's important and because he needs to listen to it and listen to her on behalf of his subjects. So that when we're looking at Mary, when we're talking about Mary as the Queen of Heaven, that's what we're talking about, this, like, this idea that she's the one who advocates for the people at the throne of the king. And along with that, like in a biblical reference to that and in relation to Mary, we see that at the wedding at Cana, right, where Jesus changes the water into wine. You know, they come to Mary, right, and she finds out that there's no wine. They come to her, and what does she do? She doesn't just like go, oh, here. She goes to Jesus and says, here's the problem. They have no wine. And he goes, right, he's acting in this role of king and saying, well, what concern is it to me, right?
Right.
Like, I'm the king. What does it matter to me? Like, you know, we can sort of read it in that vein. And she says, you know, she turns to everybody and he says, my hour has not come yet. There's more to that. And then she turns to them and says, do what he tells you, right? Like, in this
She's
role.
She's like, fine, I'll make you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's a black mama if I've ever seen one.
Right? Like,
do what he tells you. Like, he's going to do the right thing. Anyway, my mother would do that too, and she's pretty white. So, but it's definitely a mom moment. But she's acting in that role of saying, right, like she's leaving the ruling, quote unquote, the decision up to him of how this kingdom of God is going to come about. And then what does he do? He not only changes the water to wine, but he gives them this overabundance of wine.
And it's the best wine ever.
Never been to drink. I mean, it's gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons. And so that image is an image of the kingdom of God, that in this kingdom where Jesus sits on the throne and Mary intercedes, everything is overflowing in abundance. It's even more than we could even imagine, this plenitude and all of the goodness that a king should bring is even bigger and more because of Jesus. So I really love that biblical image. Again, I just recently found out about this and I was like, this makes so much more sense. And like, I've been Catholic all my life. I'm a theology nerd. Like, you know,
right. I never really knew about the Queen Mother either. That's awesome.
Yeah, right? Like, this is amazing.
I thought it was just like a royal dowager countess. And I was like, it's just Maggie Smith in a crown.
Hamilton Abbey.
Yes.
Abbey. Ancient Near East people.
Yes. All the things. No, that's really awesome. So thanks for sharing that, Shannon. Mm-hmm. So I told you, I grew up and I like fought against all the Mariness of Catholicism and I really, when my heart started to change and I started to think about, you know, being Catholic, what that would mean for me, what that would mean for my family, what that would mean for the rest of my life and my relationship with all the people I'd grown up with, because a lot of my friends and all of my family were deeply rooted in faith. And well, at that time they were. And not only were they deeply rooted in faith, they were deeply rooted in a very specific branch of Pentecostal faith. And very specifically the church where I grew up. And that was my lifeline. And as I start to change and grow and have an open heart and become enlightened more about the Catholic Church, even though I went to Catholic school for most of my education, I went for about 4 years in grade school and I went all 4 years of high school and I was in a Catholic university. My heart started to just open a little bit more finally, you know, after all this time, right? And anytime anyone says after all this time, I always have to say always because of Snape. But anyway, so everything over time, I started to kind of understand. So it was, first thing I understood was the Eucharist. And I was like, oh, okay, Eucharist, body and blood of Christ. Got it. It's cool. Not just a symbol. You legit think that's is. Like, and I was like, okay, I can get on board with that. I'm fine with that. As long as it doesn't taste like flesh and blood, I'm okay with consuming it. Right?
I had that conversation with somebody today.
You did?
Like going through RCIA. Yeah.
I was like,
Is it really? And I was like, yes, but no.
Right? I was like, no.
It doesn't taste like it.
So, tangent real quick. My sister, when we were little kids, and it was communion, we have communion once a month at my church. And another thing, they shame Catholics for doing communion every single time they met, which I think is a weird thing to like be mad at someone about. But we would have communion once a month at our church. And they would say like, oh, eat my flesh or drink my blood. And my sister Misha, she's probably like maybe 6 or 7 at the time. And she like looks at me. She's like, Marcy, is that really a man's body we're about to eat? And I was like, yes, I hope you get the finger. Because I'm the oldest and I'm awful. I was like, I hope maybe you'll get a bone in there too. Like I was being so ridiculous. And my poor sister, she was terrified. And I was like, do it. But really it was saltines and grape juice. Anyway, so I started to get more and more like understanding of what Catholic things that I grew up not understanding or hesitating about. I even got to the point where I could understand the saints. And that was the whole intercession thing. Like they're people that live their lives so much with Christ's mission that, excuse me, we hold them up to like a higher pedestal. Like, and they were like, don't you have people like that in your life that you kind of look to for guidance and for prayer? And it's like, absolutely. And so those are the saints. Mm-hmm. And so that was fine. And my last hang up was Mary, because I was like, I can't do this thing without understanding all the things. Like, I can't go in with doubts, you know? And so that's how I felt. And I know, I don't know if I've shared on here before, but I've shared with you, Shannon, how I didn't tell any of my friends or the people in my life that I was considering becoming Catholic. I just kind of asked my questions that I asked them as they came up organically. And so no one knew that that was a thing that I was going through. And it was just kind of for months. So from Holy Thursday until about August 5th. no, it was April to August. Those were my questions. And I was wondering and stuff like that. And so it was still Mary. So I was with, we talked last week about how I did prison ministry. So over the summer we met with our prison ministry group and we were all hanging out and we were going to go for ice cream. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, you guys, Our Lady of the New Millennium is at St. Patrick's Church in St. Charles. And I was like,
oh my God.
What? I was like, I really just want ice cream. Like, I'm not trying to see this Mary. And I had understanding about the Mary. And I was like, okay, what is this? It's a Mary thing? And they're like, no, it's not just a Mary thing. And so the priest proceeded to tell me the story that there was this man and he was a welder. And at least as far as I understand it, I never really read up on this story after this. And I probably should. There was a man. He was a welder. And his niece was really sick. And I think she was like 22 or 23 at the time. And he was like, I want her to live to see her 24th birthday. And and he was praying to Jesus, and as you should do, pray to Jesus. He was praying to Jesus and saying, Jesus, please, you know, let my niece live. I know that she's going to die from this, but please let her have another birthday with us. If you fulfill my prayer, I will do something to honor your mother. And that's kind of what it was. And so, I believe she died the day after her 24th birthday. And that's kind of what happened. And he was like, okay, like, let's do this. And so he welded this statue of Mary. And it was in 1999. So she was like Our Lady of the New Millennium. Sorry. I'm such a
joke. Do you want a revolution? Goop, goop. A Mary revolution.
Mary revolution. So he did this, and so everyone was like, it was touring the country at that time, and this was in 1999. Like, I was like, what year was it? It was 1999, and so it was touring the country at the time, and it was like 30-some feet statue, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, and they were telling me this, and I go, that is a big-ass Mary. Like, I don't understand why we gotta go see this big-ass Mary, but fine, they're my ride. I want ice cream. We're going to go after this.
Powerful motivator.
Right? I was like, they're my ride. Like, I can't do nothing about it. And I was like, maybe I'll just stay in the car. But it was August 5th. I would have died in that car. So I get out of the car with him. And everyone's like walking. And there's prayer cards. And there are people crying and setting flowers. And I was like, I'm going to need y'all to get over it. You know, like, whatever. Like, seriously. No joke. I'm like, she just had a baby. My mom did that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. Whatever, Mary. And this is while my heart was being open to the Catholic Church and I was trying to be okay with Mary. So they're walking and I see a card, talking about her or whatever. And I was like, where is this statue even? Like, you know? And then I kind of look and I see this like huge ass foot. Like, there's this foot. I'm like, that is a big foot. I go, why is that foot so big? And then I look up. And then I see this big-ass Mary. I know I keep saying that, but that's what I always call her. I forgot that her name was Our Lady of the New Millennium for a while. Anyway, so I see this Mary statue. All right. And so I look up, and it was, and I wasn't expecting it. And I see it, and it's beautiful, Shannon, okay? Mm-hmm. But before I could even recognize this, the way that I was and the way the light was hitting the statue and I looked up and the way her head was inclined, it looked, or I guess declined because my head was inclined, but it looked as if she were looking straight into me. And I remember in that moment, I was like, I was like, holy shit. But I was like, oh my goodness. Sorry. I'll just say, oh my goodness. This is still a family podcast. Anyway, so I had to sit down before I fell down. Like, I was like, I need to get my bearings here. This is kind of intense. And it was kind of intense out of nowhere for no reason. Like, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh. But I felt like I felt this impulse to just pray. Mm-hmm. And I sat there and I felt like I'd been there for a while and I was praying and it was like, I was scared and I was really scared. And I remember like right now thinking about it, like my heart's kind of beating fast right now, just thinking about like, I was really scared because I felt like I was at a point of acceptance and I wasn't ready to accept yet. Like this all seemed too soon. And, I didn't feel okay with it. And I began to hear a woman's voice. And she spoke to me and she's like, it's okay. You're okay. You can trust me. You can trust this. And I mean, I'm not trying to have like the cynics come at me. Do you know what I mean? Because I know like when you talk about like church miracles and whatnot, they always have to like question you. But that woman, I totally believe that was Mary. I totally believe it. I don't deny it. I'm just going to say that because there was no other woman that I needed to trust in that moment. There was no one else that I needed to be okay with. And whatever time it took for me to sit down to pray to the time that I was done praying, I had no more doubts about being Catholic. Like there's not another doubt in my mind. Like it was just kind of like everything was okay. And I remember I stood up and my friends were kind of waiting for me because they're like, Marcia's praying over here. Like a good old friend, Protestant Marcia, is praying at this foot of this Mary statue here.
Big old Mary.
You know? And so, and I stood up and I remember this and I, we were walking away and we're like, okay, we're going to get ice cream. They go ready for ice cream. And I was like, oh yeah. Like, and they're like,
forgot about that.
Right. I was like, oh, there's this. That's right. There is a dairy treat involved in this evening. And, I remember I was like, I stopped and I was like, I need to tell them, like, I need to tell somebody, you know what I mean? I need to tell them right away. And so I remember stopping and I was like, hey guys, I just want to talk to you and tell you something. And they're like, okay, what's wrong? And, they were, cause I was having some other issues that night. So they maybe thought it had to do with that. But I remember later my friend telling me that I looked like insanely peaceful and he was like, I don't know what to do with that. So,
it's too creepy.
Right. It's like, I understand about this peace you have about you, but I don't like it. No. And I just told them, I was like, over the last couple of months, I've been really praying and discerning and just trying to figure things out. And I made the decision tonight that I'm going to join the Catholic Church. And everyone lost their minds. Like, there was this crazy celebration. And, like, there are all these people, like, in contemplative prayer and crying at the statue and leaving flowers. And everyone's like, woo! Yeah! It was, you know, like, it was just really crazy. And so everyone was kind of, I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And, I just thinking about it now, like, I just have this insane, like, this really great feeling in my heart. Mm-hmm. And in my belly. And it was just kind of like, that was that moment. And I will never forget that moment because I never felt so calm and so welcomed, you know? Yeah. And a lot of the times, and then I had to recall that calm in that whole year leading up to me becoming Catholic. Well, that next April, until I became Catholic, because after that, I had to deal with my own mom, my actual mom, not my heavenly mom.
Biological mom.
Right, exactly. So I had to deal with my family being upset that I was becoming Catholic and all those things. And I was always reminded to reach back into that moment where she told me that it was going to be okay. And I could trust this and I can trust her. And I've never stopped trusting her. Like, I've never stopped. I was like, me and Mary got this, and when we talk in later episodes, we'll talk more about it. But it was Mary that really guided me when I made the decision to place Dylan up for adoption. Like, I have a son too, but he's not with me. I placed him up for adoption, and it was a lot. I'm like, just so y'all know, boom, bomb dropped. But anyway, and it was through Mary's guidance that I was able to do that, and that I'm still able to endure that, you know, 15 mm-hmm. years later. And it's just been really great. Like, he just had a birthday this past Sunday, and mm-hmm. I've been like, oh, but Mary has been a huge part of my life, and I've just never stopped trusting her and never stopped thanking her for the miracles that she's asked her son to perform in my life. And yeah. So it's been really great. So, you know, more misconceptions. All done. All done. So.
No, I love hearing that story. I've heard that story a few times, and I still love hearing it because I think that we just need to be reminded of those good encounters in our life with Christ and his saints and the people who have brought us closer to God, because otherwise the hard time, we wouldn't be able to make it through the hard times, right? Like, we wouldn't be able to do. Life is hard, you know, and the human spirit is resilient, but also, like, there are some things that you just need to find that inner place of peace and joy and remember, you know. So I'm with you, and you know, keep going, Mary. Keep interceding for us, please.
Yes, please. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. No, that's awesome. So yeah, that's I feel like that's a good place to
close it out.
Close it out. Yeah. Is there anything else you need to say about Mary, or I'm just
You know, I'm a fan.
Right? Right? Huge fan. I'm a fan. If I can get like a foam finger, maybe in a blue, a nice Marian blue foam finger. Also, TARDIS blue is Marian blue, or Cubby blue. All the blue.
All the blue.
All the blue,
no. Okay, so Mary the TARDIS?
She's bigger on the inside. She does contain multitudes, just saying.
All right.
This is like the second week in a row we talked about Doctor Who.
Oh, I can talk about Doctor Who.
I know, like all the time. Like, we might need to figure out. We might talk about.
I have an episode we should watch. Okay.
Okay, we'll definitely talk about it. So this is not, we're not done talking about virgin births, are we, Shannon?
No, not at all. Or virgins, just any virgins.
Just any virgins. We're not done talking about them. So, because next week, we're going to be talking about, bum, 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 Jane the Virgin! Woo! So, full disclosure, once again, I have seen every episode of this show, and Shannon has seen zero. So, she is going to watch the pilot episode and any episodes after that that she wants to watch.
That's true.
And then next week, we will come to you. We'll talk about Jane the Virgin, the Catholic themes, the awesomeness that it is. I'll tell you what team I'm on. Maybe Shannon will have picked a team. I can't, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to ask her next week. There's a team, because of course, with any good show, there's love triangle. But
So team Jacob and team Robert Pattinson.
You know, Edward. Just for the record, I was legit team Edward. I mean, no, gosh, that's not true at all. I was team Jacob. Why did I say that? Because I just said Edward's name.
That's the proper choice. And I never watched Twilight. I only know it like via teenagers. So.
Right. Yes. I am Team Jacob. I used to have a shirt that said Team Jacob. Like, I got it for Christmas one year, and if that was going to be a gag gift, I literally wore that shirt once a week. So, and I don't even repeat clothes that often. You know that. So,
true.
So I'm just saying. I am Team Jacob all day long. Okay. So Shannon, is there anything that you're excited about coming up this week?
So still excited about my husband. It's super busy, but actually next Sunday is Owen's first communion. So not this coming Sunday, May 6th, the following.
So Mother's Day?
Which is Mother's Day, too. Oh. Yeah, so Mother's Day and First Communion, and we've got my sister-in-law, her birthday is that weekend, too, so it's a full weekend of celebration. So we're going to have lots of family time, like so much food and parties and cake. That's awesome. In a very short weekend. And so I'm really looking forward to that because it's been a really long time since we've even seen our families, and just to celebrate with my son this very special gift that he now gets to receive the Eucharist for the first time and for many times going forward. So I'm really excited for him. I know at 7 you can't fully comprehend what that means, but he's excited too. I don't think he just thinks of it as like the cool thing that now he finally gets to eat the bread, you know. He's talked a lot about you know, that he gets to receive Jesus, and he really enjoyed confession. I mean, like, I don't think he enjoyed it, but it was really meaningful to him. His first
reconciliation. It's the best thing ever.
Like, really positive. And I was like, I don't, you know, like, we try to be good parents. Of course, we're trying to teach our kids about the Catholic faith, whether that's, you know, hopefully that they choose to then practice for their whole lives. But also, you know, we're human, and I don't feel like we, like, teach them anything great. Like, we're like, because you should, you know, or because it's important. But it's really been impactful to him. So it's been great to see as a parent, and hoping that, you know, like, that this will be a lifelong journey with God and with Jesus in particular. But also just reminds me of how great it is to be able to receive these gifts that we call sacraments, and to receive God's grace and God's life within us, and now to be able to share that with my son, who is a great and loving kid. So, looking forward
to
it.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. I love First Communions. I really do. They're so sweet. My goddaughter Noelle, my first goddaughter.
Not Megan.
Not Megan. She's still a baby.
Megan, not
Megan, first. She, when we were at her First Communion, she went and she, you know, received the bread, she received the body and blood of Christ, and she sat and she prayed and put her little hands together, and then she just started crying. I looked, I was like, oh my gosh, I looked at her mom, and I was like, and we were like, oh my goodness, that's so sweet. Like, it's so sweet, like, it was really crazy. So, anyway, I just thought I'd just share that, because it was really awesome. Sweet. I'm all done being a catechist for this year.
I thought you were going to say I'm all done being Catholic.
I'm all done being Catholic. That's it. I've decided just now to doubt everything that Mary told me on August 5th, 1999. That is what I've decided. And here we are. So this is our last episode of the podcast. It was great knowing all of you.
Bye.
I know, all lies. No, maybe it's Maybelline, maybe it's lies. But no, anyways, what was I going to say? So my kids got they're done with their confirmation, and it was one of those things where I was like, I don't think I can do this next year, just because it's just, sometimes I'm like I want to strangle them half the time, because yeah. I deal with teenage boys. All day long. And I have middle school boys, and the middle school boys, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to shake you, but I can't because it's illegal and I might get fired and I need to pay my bills and I like shoes. Do you know what I mean?
Or an adult. Really, don't keep hands off people.
Right, yes. Keep your hands off people. But it's like, I can't shake and throttle you because I want to buy makeup. So I can't buy makeup if I don't have a job. But
very circuitous.
I know. I'm totally teasing. I also just don't want to hurt children. But but going there every week, I was like, sometimes I would just leave so discouraged, because I was like, they're going to drive me crazy. I don't think they're learning anything. I don't think I can do coming like on my day off of working with teenagers, specifically middle school teenagers, and then to work with like more middle school teenagers, you know, I think I can do it. And so this past Tuesday we had confirmation, so a couple days ago. I want to say, and it was like usually the boys that drove me insane. I want to say maybe about 75% of the moms of the boys approached me and told me what a positive impact I had on their kid, that they came home with like questions and to talk about their faith and all these things. And I go, what? I go, are you sure? And like, this doesn't sound right. Lies! All lies! And so, but no.
They were the father of lies.
Right? You smell of beef and cheese. But no, anyway. So they totally, like 75% of those moms, and I had 15 boys in my class. Wow. I had 15 boys and 4 girls. Like that. And, right? Girl! Right? That's like legit crazy. I was like, what was happening? What was happening? I was like, this is not great. I need no more X chromosomes. Right? It's X chromosomes, right? Yeah. Yes.
Why?
It's a Y chromosome that makes the boy?
Yeah.
Okay, no more Y chromosomes. You're like, how? Oh. I was like, I don't know.
Girls have 2 X's.
I'm not a science person. I used to be, though, and that's what's really sad. I used to be pre-med. But anyway, so they did, like a good amount of them. Like, I was like, shut up. And so it was, just, it felt really, really great, and it was really, really good. And so I am glad it's over. So I'm looking forward to having my Wednesdays be for me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm like, okay, at least until they suck me in next August. So I'm still up in the air about whether or not I'm going to do it still. But, yeah. But that's kind of where. Don't make me yawn.
Sorry.
Shannon's yawning. Now I yawn. Anyway, so that's what I'm looking forward to. So, yeah, I hope that you guys have something great to look forward to. I hope that, you guys learned something from our Mary talk today. And please, like we're going to be taking a break in a couple weeks. And so, like, cause this is episode 8. Yes, this is episode 8. And so we have 2 more episodes after this, and then we're taking a break for about a month. And we want to know what you guys want to hear about. So after we're done with our break, like, what do you want to know? What do you want to hear? So give us some ideas for season 2. Tell us what shows you think are real Catholic and we should watch. And then we'll talk about them and maybe break it down. Some questions.
Game of Thrones.
I knew it. I was like, Shannon's going to tell me Game of Thrones. My sister just threatened my life yesterday if I didn't watch Game of Thrones. Which is funny because I've told you this before, right? Like, I got her an autographed picture of Finn Jones. He was on Game of Thrones, but he was also on like a Doctor Who spinoff show. So when I was at a Doctor Who convention, I got her and her boyfriend his autograph. So she's like, "You got me this autograph from." He's also plays Iron Fist in the Marvel universe.
Yep.
So that also helps. But she's like, "You got me this autograph from Game of Thrones, but you haven't watched it." Like, she threatened my life, and so I was like, "Oh my gosh, you sound like Shannon." So it's cool. So we can talk about Game of Thrones, but not at all. Like this is what not to do. No. So. Anyway, so yeah, give us your ideas. Please email them to plaidskirtsandbasicblack@gmail.com. You can also tweet at us on PSBB Podcast or follow us on Instagram, also PSBB Podcast. You can follow me at The Hot Mess Heroine on Instagram or tweet at me, and it's at Hot Mess Heroine on Twitter. So there's no the, because there's not enough characters. It's too many characters for Twitter, but Twitter needs to get on it. Anyway.
They gave us more tweet space, so
yes.
Twitter.
Right, they did give us more tweet space, so
we need that.
And it's funny because I sent out one tweet from our PSBB account, and then I start following the cast of Jane the Virgin from it. So that's all I have. Those are the only people I follow on our Twitter.
One tweet and some cast members.
It's so ridiculous. So anyway, you guys are fantastic and great. Happy Mother's Day.
Yay.
I did say in the intro, this was our Mother's Day episode. So happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to my mom, Melissa. Love you.
Yeah. Also to my mama, Colleen, and my mother-in-law, Kathy, who is awesome as well. And to all sorts of mommies that I know, my sister, Maggie, my sister-in-law, Kristen, and also to my sister-in-law, Nicole, who is one of the godparents of my children. Owen's godparents, the first one. So she's amazing as well. Even though she doesn't have her own biological kids, she's a teacher and is just a mom to many, even though she's not physically a mom yet. So, so love you guys. Thank you for being amazing women in my life, and especially to my mommy for giving me life as well. So, and my grandma oh, Mary Jane.
Yeah, also my grandma Nanny.
Nanny.
Happy Mother's Day, Nanny. Jesus, 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 Jesus. There, I prayed. Well, you guys have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Bye.